Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. This is the season when giving is opposed to Trump receiving. A little later, we'll talk about a new formula for doing just that. But first, we'll talk with a man who has been giving to his community for a long time, and that would be Joe Edwards, the unofficial mayor of University City. That's a title he's earned by helping make the Del Mar Loop area one of the great streets of America. You'll find Joe's prints on Blueberry Hill, the Tivoli, the Pageant, the Moonrise Hotel, and the Walk of Fame. It's the Walk of Fame and a new book about it we want to talk about today. The book's titled St. Louis Walk of Fame, 140 Great St. Louisans. As founder of the Walk, Joe Edwards has written the foreword to the book, and he joins us now in studio. Joe, it's always a pleasure to see you.
I'm happy to be here. It's
a beautiful book. Great timing coming out just before the holiday season. I'm sure a lot of people will want it for their coffee table.
Yeah, I think so. The design of this book, my daughter Hope did it, and it's just phenomenal. It's a big step forward compared to the very first Walk of Fame book that was brought out with 50 inductees, and this one has 140 and is just magnificent.
And counting, I guess it'll be a few years before we get the next one, but we'll look forward to that as well. Joe, what inspired you to get into the Walk of Fame business at all?
Just to draw attention to the great St. Louisans who have affected our culture on a national level. Most of the time, I would know if somebody was doing a special magazine article or a television special that somebody was from St. Louis, but sometimes I didn't, and it kind of made me go, whoa, we should draw attention to this for a couple of reasons. One, just to let people in other cities know our city is really good, and two, to let people in St. Louis have great role models and be inspired by some of the greats over the last 250 years that have come from St. Louis.
Is it well visited? Has it done its job by drawing a lot of people to the Del Mar Loop area?
It's become a wonderful attraction, both for tourists and for students and teachers, scout troops, church groups. It's great seeing people walk up and down. It's wonderful seeing people take pictures of different stars, their favorites, or getting down on the sidewalk and having their friend take a picture of them right next to the star.
It's like the old Grauman's Chinese Theater out in Los Angeles, isn't it, in that respect?
It is. People really like it. And I think the thing that was that they like, and it was real important to me, to have the informative plaques installed along with the star. So if you didn't recognize the person's name, you could read about the person right then and there and find out something of how they the great things, their achievements, and then also their St. Louis connection. So you could go, wow, I didn't know so-and-so was from St. Louis. That's marvelous.
Actually, I misspoke. Grauman's Chinese Theater had handprints and footprints rather than the stars that are on the walk. What is the process for the inductees?
Well, anybody can nominate anybody all year round by just sending in whatever information they have about the person. I wanted to keep it a real open, casual process so we wouldn't miss anyone through the years. Then there's a small committee that picks maybe 30 to put on a ballot each year, and then I mail out ballots to 120 people on the selection committee. And by the way, I appreciate the fact that you have been on the selection committee from the inception. People, all the chancellors of the universities, heads of historical societies, arts organizations, certain people knowledgeable about St. Louis history, such as yourself and others, are on it, and then the ballots come back, and the next year, three more people are honored.
Right. And is there any one person on the list who's been there longer than anybody else?
On the selection committee?
No, on the overall list, the list of nominees.
Sometimes it takes quite a few years for someone to get in, and they get enough votes to stay on the ballot each year than they do. Otherwise, they might come off. But every 5 years or so, I try to put them back on because the dynamic can change. For example, when Tennessee Williams was on the ballot, William Inge and other playwrights aren't going to get votes because he was so great in the English world. Shakespeare maybe number one and Tennessee Williams number two. Once he has been honored, then that changed the dynamic and freed up the votes for William Inge in a subsequent year.
We reached out to some of our listeners to ask them the people they thought should be on the list. And we have an email here from Carol, and she says, Edna Gellhorn, on behalf of the League of Women Voters in St. Louis. Mrs. Gellhorn lived in St. Louis and fought hard for 50% of the population, women, to be able to vote, that is. Accolades abound for her. Seems to me she's been on the list.
She's been on the list before and has not quite gotten enough votes. Martha Gellhorn has, but Edna Gellhorn, not quite yet. But she is definitely worthy of it, I think.
Yeah, well, Carol thinks so, too. So we'll take that under advisement. We have some others I'll get to in just a couple of moments. But tell us about the first class. You started all this in 1988. And your first inductees were honored in 89. Is that correct?
Correct.
Tell us about that first list.
The first year, the first 5 years, I inducted 10 people each year to really establish the Walk of Fame, and then got it down where it's three a year to keep the caliber very high. But the first year was just an amazing group of St. Louisans. Chuck Berry, Vincent Price, T.S. Eliot, Charles Lindbergh, Stan Musial, Tennessee Williams, Scott Joplin. I can't remember them all off the top of my head, but it's a wonderful class.
You know, it's a very impressive list. I mean, I think a lot of people are surprised by the number of folks who have gained a national reputation and distinction who are have some St. Louis, an important St. Louis connection.
Yeah, that's true. And I think they'll really enjoy this book because they'll find out people that they didn't know were connected to St. Louis when they see it. And also the paragraphs are short enough. It's fun to read, whether it's for children or adults. And they'll find out some interesting facts. You know, just some off-the-wall facts like Betty Grable's legs were insured for $1 million, the great pinup actress from World War II era and beyond. But and other great facts, you know, Mike Peters is in the St. Louis Walk of Fame, and most people know his comic strip Mother Goose and Grimm that's syndicated all around the country. But they don't realize in a lot of cases that he won a Pulitzer Prize for his editorial cartoons before he started Mother Goose and Grimm. So that there's some just amazing people and facts about the people that they'll find in this book.
They might not also realize that his mother was Charlotte Peters, who was a fixture on television here for a good many years. Very popular.
Yeah, very popular and one of the greats in early television in St. Louis, just as television was really getting started.
I want to talk about one of the inductees who was a pal of yours and also in that first class, a gentleman by the name of Chuck Berry. Let's listen to him. Joe Edwards, it's almost sacrilegious to interrupt that, but I'm sure you've heard that many, many times. You're great pals with him.
Yes, he's a wonderful talent, and the song you just played, Johnny Be Good, is the one that is on the Voyager space probes, the one that just left our solar system and truly out in outer space. They confirmed that this year, that it left about a year ago. So if people from another star system find it, they'll be able to play that copper song, that cover record with Johnny B. Goode on it.
But they won't see the duck walk.
No, they won't. They won't.
Yeah. How did your relationship with him get started?
It was just one of those unexpected things in life where just over a period of years, a trust and a respect built up between the two of us. And it's just one of those inexplicable things where he just trusts me and he just loves playing at Blueberry Hill, an intimate club size, the size of the ones he played when he first started out, and that means a lot to him, I think, to play with his son and his daughter. He never left St. Louis like a lot of big stars did. He didn't go to L.A. or to New York. And here's a man that influenced not only the Beatles and the Rolling Stones and Bruce Springsteen, but everyone to come after him and was the first great, always considered the father of rock and roll, wrote his own songs, the first great poet laureate of rock and roll, whom Bob Dylan idolizes. And then he intuitively choreographed the first great stage moves. The duck walk that you just mentioned is one of the best-known moves, if not the best-known move of all on stage.
Was there any doubt that he was going to be on that first list?
I don't think so. He's probably the best-known St. Louis and around the world. I mean, people in Brazil, Japan, every place know of Chuck Berry. And as great as some of our sports heroes are, they're not necessarily known in other parts of the world.
You know, we have a call already, and people are going to come up, I'm sure, with names of folks they feel should be on the walk. Let's bring in Rich. He's calling from, I guess, the Bevo area, I suppose. I can't read this very well. But, Rich, go ahead. What's your question or comment?
Hi, Don. Hi, Joe. Just another shout-out for Chris Vondra, the most important man in the history of sport, founder of the St. Louis Cardinals, needs to be on the walk. I got to say.
Well, thanks. Yeah, no, he's another wonderful example of how many people have come from this great city of ours And that's part of the reason for having the book out and the Walk of Fame itself. My personal theory is that why we have produced so many great people is that not only were we the gateway to the West, where the whole East to West migration was going on, but the whole South to North migration was going on also. So people were exposed to all sorts of different types of literature and different types of music, and there was just a collision of cultures, and the resulting explosion, just an explosion of creativity, which continues to this day. I mean, when you see some of the people coming up right now, like John Hamm, Ellie Kemper is about to get her own television show. I mean, it's amazing what comes out of St. Louis.
Yeah, and I mentioned some of the folks who had contacted us before we went on the air. Jeff emailed us and said, I would suggest for the Walk of Fame actors Doris Roberts and John Hamm. John's on the list.
He hasn't been on the list yet because his career is still it's rising rapidly and all. But that's the first official request to have him on the list. He's wonderful. And I couldn't remember who the other.
Doris Roberts?
Oh, Doris Roberts. Yeah. I just received a written nomination about her the other day, and she'll be on the ballot this coming year.
Okay. When will the ballots be coming out?
I mail them out in May or early June, late May, early June, and then research to get. Then they're chosen, and the three are chosen. And then we research them for the next 6 months and try to consolidate a person's life into 10 lines, which is difficult. And thanks to the people that helped me on that too, people that work with me on this project. And then we notify the inductees in the following year is when they're inducted. So this coming year, they've already been chosen.
Do you have a favorite?
You know, I don't know. Okay. It's just like trying to pick a favorite song. It's hard to ever pick a favorite song. No, I really like them all, and I like finding out about all of them, especially the different fields. I mean, what makes this Walk of Fame so special is all the fields represented. It's not just acting and music. It's literature and science and architecture and sports and broadcasting and then the general categories, so that you can have people who don't fit in any of those categories, like Ulysses S. Grant. Worthwhile, I'd say.
And needless to say, that's Joe Edwards. You know him as the unofficial mayor of University City. He is also behind the book we're talking about, the St. Louis Walk of Fame, 140 great St. Louisans. Joe and his compatriots have compiled this book, and the fact of the matter is that your contribution is the forward to the book, which gets the whole thing launched.
Yes, and I wrote a lot of the early ones and still edited and write parts of the current ones. I really love participating in it. But yeah, it's just so exciting, and I think people are really going to enjoy it. I'm elated at the bookstores that have taken it right now and have already started reordering. So I think people really are responding to this. It's the most unique St. Louis-related gift I think people could give this holiday season.
There are going to be some signings, too, in the days ahead. We'll list those when we come back. Again, Joe Edwards is our guest. We'll come back and continue our conversation. Like to make you a part of it. Give us a call at 382-8255. That's 382-TALK. Send us an email at talk@stlpublicradio.org or a tweet at STL on air. Back with Joe Edwards in just a moment. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Hello again and welcome back. Now back to Joe Edwards. Joe, I want to play another clip of someone who was one of the early inductees into the Walk of Fame, but I think hers came in 1992. The person's name is Marguerite Johnson. At least that's the name that she was born with. Let's listen to her, and I think folks will figure out pretty quickly who she's known as now.
Usually when people introduce me, they can go for a half hour. It makes me feel as if I'm at my own wake or something. You know, and then in 1951, but the truth is, I'm Maya Angelou, whatever that means to whomever it means, because my mother loved me and my grandmother loved me and my brother loved me. And they all told me I could do whatever I wanted to do.
Maya Angelou, of course, as she self-identified there a moment ago. Another early inductee, I think she came in 1992, another person that had to be on an early list.
Right, yeah, just a remarkable woman. And I spent an afternoon with her at Blueberry Hill, along with the great opera singer Grace Bunbury. Both of them had come into town not knowing the other was coming in. And so they met up for lunch, and I just kind of sat there and listened to the two talk because it was just so magnificent. And then after a wonderful afternoon and a few beverages, they broke into a gospel song. So here you have this great opera singer singing a duet, a gospel duet with Maya Angelou. That was it just sent chills through me. It was just magical.
I think Maya Angelou started her life as an entertainer, as a calypso singer, I believe.
Interesting.
So, you know, the way we start isn't always the way that that we end up, is
right.
it?
Right. That's very true.
You know, it must be a great thrill for you, Joe, as you've indicated, to meet people like this. But you've met so many through this Walk of Fame. Many, of course, are deceased and were not there for the acceptance. But a lot of them were.
Oh, yeah. And right now, some have come back, like Masters and Johnson. They're way back in the news because of this television series that they're doing about their research. And it's marvelous to see them getting that positive credit for taking such a risk, you know, back in the 1950s.
That's why you say that you bring them back. If they fall off the list for a period of time, you'll bring them back because events sometimes dictate that has to happen.
Yeah, well, they were in the Walk of Fame. What I meant by that, I'm sorry, was that their popularity is back
again.
And they're being recognized by people around the country, which brings great honor to St. Louis, I think. And the series is a good series. So that's...
But it can happen the other way around if they're not on the walk. I mean, like a successful television show could get them back near the top of the list.
Absolutely, definitely.
Yeah. Let's take a couple of calls. We have a number of people who want to talk to you, Joe. Let's start with Diane calling from St. Louis. Diane, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. Yes, I called right after you made the comment about how there are so many different backgrounds that are represented in the Walk of Fame. One that we feel like needs to be represented a little bit more, me and my daughter, is the theater background. And especially when we have somebody as wonderful as Ken Page to nominate. He comes back every year to the Muni. He talks about St. Louis and how wonderful his childhood was here and how much he loves the Muni. And he's just a great ambassador for St. Louis.
Yes, I agree. And that's a word I would use also, a great ambassador and a great actor. And he has been on the ballot, and I'm sure will be back on the ballot. I haven't checked it to see what it's shaping up to be this coming year. But he is another one of those great ones deserving to be in the acting and entertainment category.
You mentioned the various categories, Joe. Is there one category? Is it lopsided? Does one category dominate?
No, there are a couple that have more than others. Acting and entertainment and music and sports are the three biggest. But literature is very close behind, followed by science and education and art and architecture. Then there are a couple of other, journalism and broadcasting are smaller, but giant names nonetheless that have had their big, big influences.
I've always been surprised at the number of very well-known, internationally known movie stars that came out of St. Louis. You mentioned Betty Grable being just one of them.
Right. I mean, if people get this book and they look at my favorite, there are a bunch of tables in the front of it. My favorite table is the one where it lists all the inductees by field of achievement. And so all the acting entertainment people are in the same column. And if you just read down this list, you recognize every name, and they're all giants, the same way with any of the categories, really. But it's just so much fun to see how they've influenced their fields in such a magnificent way. Then there are other tables that I enjoy where I list people by month and day of birth. So you can check your own birthday to find out if yours matches up with one of the honorees. And mine matches up with John Goodman. So that was just kind of fun for me to find out.
You know, they're talking about him as a possible Oscar nominee this year. Apparently he's got a pretty good role. I've forgotten the name of the film. But
yeah, his career has just taken off again the last couple of years. He's been in the last two Oscar-winning movies. And just all sorts of other things. And we'll have to redo his plaque sometime, that's for sure.
There was a period of time when he was seemingly in every movie that came out. I mean, he was just in everything for a long period of time.
Right.
Back to the phones. Well, let's bring in Tom on his cell. Tom, go ahead.
Yes, I'd like to recommend, and I don't know if they're on there, but I believe it's Leo Dry and his wife, that they both live in University City. The gift they've given to the state of Missouri of tens of thousands of acres, mainly the Ozarks of Missouri, went a long way to protect wildlife down there and just many, many, many acres of woods that were being decimated. They were the first to really start sustainable forestry with their pioneer forest, and again, have given a lot to the state of Missouri.
Yeah, and I agree. They're both great environmentalists, and what you said about how he harvested forests was the intelligent way to do it. He really set the standard. It's always tricky when, even though they're both of them are really great in their own respects, respective ways. But would someone in Utah or Georgia recognize them? And part of it being a walk of fame is to get the word out where people all around the country would have been affected by them. So sometimes there's some great St. Louisans or Missourians that might qualify for other types of walks or honors that might or might not. I'm not saying they don't qualify because the impact might be more national than people might think. But that's a good suggestion.
K-Dry, of course, has been tireless in her environmental work here for a good many years now.
Right.
Yeah. Back to the phones. Tom, thank you for the call. Let's bring in Rick calling from Kirkwood. Go ahead, Rick.
Hi. I don't know if Kevin Kline is on your list or not, but what a great actor from, and his roots are in St. Louis. And I actually knew his father when he had a really famous record store in Clayton called the Record Bar. That's where I got exposed early on to jazz and early rock and roll. Kevin Kline would be a super addition, a representative of St. Louis. I can't wait to see your book. Thank you.
Yes, he is in there, and there's a great photo portrait of him in there, too. That's what I love, too, all the photo portraits of everyone. You don't get to see those on the sidewalk itself, but in the book you can see those. And, yeah, I went to the Record Bar many times myself, and it was a great store.
Thank you so much for the call, Rick. How about Susie and Rock Hill? Go ahead.
Well, my question is Harry Hamm on our Walk of Fame?
He is not. He is not.
I think he should be nominated. He's done an outstanding job on television particularly. And also, I'm going out to L.A. in a couple of days, and I can't think of a better present to take, but I'd love to have a Joe Edwards signature on it. Where would I get a book with Joe Edwards' signature?
Well, there are going to be several book signings coming up at the Moonrise Hotel Tuesday, December 10th from 6 to 7 in the Eclipse Restaurant at the Moonrise. And then there are a couple more coming up after that at Barnes & Noble West County, December 14th, Christopher's in Kirkwood, December 19th, Missouri History Museum in January, and Subterranean Books in February. So there will be a lot of opportunities. Or if you happen to catch me at Blueberry Hill, I'd be happy to sign it there if I'm in at the time. Because we sell it there
out?
Also.
Are they already out?
Yeah, they're out, and they're in all the independent bookstores right now, the History Museum gift shop. I love the fact that they're in Webster Books in Webster, Christopher's in Kirkwood, Wash U's bookstore. People are really, really responding to this because it's like the definitive book about famous St. Louisans for our first 250 years of existence as a city.
That's right. It's all coming together at the right time, isn't it?
And one other thing I'd like to mention, it's a nonprofit organization, and due to sales of the book, and I was able to give one free copy to every high school library and every junior high school library in the bi-state region. So 328 schools now have it, so their librarians and teachers and students can all work together and learn more about their own heritage and hopefully find good role models to emulate.
What are you doing with the proceeds from the book?
It goes back into the nonprofit Walk of Fame so that we could do more outreach and more educational things. It really is an educational project, and it's one of those fun educational projects for people.
I'm sure, Joe, that you've attended all of the ceremonies, all the acceptance ceremonies. Is there one acceptance speech or one person or one part of that event that stands out in your mind above the others?
Well, there were a couple that were among the funniest times. I mean, when Phyllis Diller accepted, and when Mike Peters accepted, for that matter. I mean, they were among the two funniest. I mean, they had me just doubled over. They had the whole audience doubled over with laughter. And some really powerful and serious ones that, and funny at times. But Gerald Early, the great professor at Washington University, gave one of the most compelling acceptance speeches. And when Elijah Lovejoy was posthumously honored, the person that accepted on his behalf gave a very moving speech.
Yeah, I'm sure there are great memories for you for all of those ceremonies. Let's bring in another caller, Daryl in Kirkwood. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Yeah, I'm wondering if anyone has ever nominated Joe for the University City St. Louis Walk of Fame.
No, luckily I don't qualify because I have had no national impact, so I'm happy to highlight other people and research and draw attention to them. But luckily, I don't have to worry. But thanks for the kind words.
Well, I would think that the national impact you have is going into a part of the city that people had written off and turning it into one of the gems of our city. So
it is exciting joining the city and the county together. We're bridging that artificial city-county border, and I appreciate your observation of that. It's pretty exciting.
Of course, with the Loop being named one of the great streets in America, Joe, that does give you, given the role that you've played in developing that area, that does give you kind of a national image and profile. So we'll see. We'll see. We get some of those nominations. I want to play one more clip. I think this will need no identification. Let's listen to this.
Smith corks one into right down the line. It may go. Go crazy, folks. Go crazy. It's a home run, and the Cardinals have won the game by the score of 3-2 on a home run by the Wizard. Go crazy.
What a call.
Wonderful call. Yeah. What a memory that home run is for everybody, too.
Boy, he's surely missed. I mean, talk about the soundtrack for Summers here.
Right.
Jack Buck, of course. And again, one of your early inductees, and it had to be.
He was definitely one of the greats. And I think in the future, Joe Buck will probably be a shoe-in, too, and that'll be the first father-son combination.
Yeah, well, Joe is very, very talented young man. Joe Buck, I'm talking of, and, of course, Joe Edwards as well. Joe, we have to wrap this up. I want to thank you so much for being here. I'll remind our listeners that the list of places where you'll be available to sign books will be on our website, stlpublicradio.org. People don't often have a pencil in hand to write that information down, but they can find it there. And good luck with the book. Again, it's perfect for this time of year, no question about it.
Well, thank you very much.
You've done a great, you and Hope have done a great job putting that together, and the others who were involved. Joe Edwards, everybody. When we come back, we'll talk about Giving Tuesday. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.